he's really wonderful at doing desktop support, or she does a great job managing their application, but they're missing some of the other components.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Doug Miller, and he is the founder and entrepreneur behind Brightworks Group. Doug, thanks for jumping on today with me.
Great. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, you're in Indianapolis, is that right?
Correct. Yeah, we're up on the north side of Indianapolis in a suburb called, and everybody in California will hate this, but we're called Carmel.
Oh, they're totally acceptable. Right. Was it Sonny Bono that was the mayor of Carmel, or was that Clinton?
Yeah, I think it was. But people from the West Coast always go, oh, you live in Carmel. And I'm like, no, we're in the Midwest. It's Carmel.
That's hilarious. So tell us maybe, what is Brightworks?
Yeah, so we are a digital transformation, cloud transition, and IT modernization company. We help small and mid-sized enterprises basically cope with the modern world of technology and technology operations.
So the typical company that you're helping are small and medium-sized businesses? Are you focused on any industry? Or
So we do a lot of work with highly regulated industries. One of our claims to fame is we're very good with compliance and helping companies that have compliance needs. So we work a lot in healthcare. We work quite a bit in financial services, mostly on the private equity and wealth management side.
Okay.
Our biggest vertical by far is the architecture, engineering, construction management space. I've got some background in engineering and actually even in some real estate. And we just developed a whole set of skills in that particular area. And so I've ended up with a lot of customers in that space.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So you've got quite a breadth of industry there and complex ones at that. So what sort of problems like are you solving for them? Like what is it? And then what does the end result look like?
Yeah. So, There are a couple of problems. We tend to call them the three P's and the three C's. On the P's, number one, if our customers are having to look at a big technology purchase, maybe they've got to refresh their equipment, they've got a lot of stuff to buy, we can get them out of that capital equipment treadmill. It's not like it was 20 years ago. We say that we're in the business of helping our customers get out of the infrastructure owning business. A lot of our companies, they really don't want to have that stuff in their office anymore. And so we have ways to help them not do that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Secondly, we really help them if they're having a productivity issue. And this has become a thing that has become a big deal for everybody during COVID, right? How do we, we've got a remote workforce. How do we keep everybody productive? Our technology really wasn't designed to support our entire workforce being remote. Again, we have solutions to that, and we had them well before COVID.
Interesting. So you've seen a lot of demand around, we're remote. What do we do, Doug?
we've seen a ton of that. And continue to see a ton of it because there are a lot of companies that, they managed some kind of transition, but it was cobbled together. Mm-hmm. And now that it's this whole thing's lasted longer than anybody thought. And on top of it, a lot of companies are saying, hey, wait a minute, this actually works, right? Why don't we make this permanent? But if we're gonna make it permanent, some of the stuff we cobbled together, it doesn't really work long term. So what do we do about that? So we help companies with that exact question. We had, for example, a fairly large civil engineering company that they're doing high-end CAD work. And because of the solution that we put them on, within 24 hours after they decided they needed to close their office, everybody was functioning fine without an issue. They didn't have to do anything.
That makes sense.
You know, because they actually were able to take high-end engineers running high-end CAD systems without having to move equipment around or anything, just go home and work.
That's great. So,
yeah, it's a really cool solution. And then the third P is pain, right? You know, they've got some kind of IT situation that's just fundamentally broken for whatever reason, and they just need somebody to help them out. A lot of times with the small and mid-size enterprises, it's that they may have an IT provider or they may have IT staff, but those companies can't afford large staffs and they can't afford people that have had a diverse and deep background. What's kind of unique about us is that our background is in larger organizations with some pretty hefty requirements. I ran data centers, for example, for a very large public level one trauma center, regional burn center for a number of years. So not only do I understand healthcare, but I understand what redundancy and reliability mean in that sort of intense healthcare environment. So unlike a lot of IT firms who may have a lot of technical experience, our experience is in a much broader kind of thing. So we can help those companies who maybe have a great IT guy in terms of he's really wonderful at doing desktop support, or she does a great job managing their application, but they're missing some of the other components.
So I'm going to shift gears a little bit, which is, you know, we're obviously Automate and Grow. And I know we kind of talked before we jumped on and you'd mentioned how important some of these things were to your business. So I'm curious, like, what has the role of technology and particularly around automating processes been in your company's journey, like growth?
Oh, it's been absolutely central. It's absolutely essential to how we operate and always has been. From the outset, we wanted to be a company that was, number one, laser focused, and number two, operating very lean. I say that we are a minimally viable company, right? So we really strive to not have anything other than what we need to deliver a very high quality of service. So that's meant we've done a couple of things, right? Anything that isn't part of our core mission, so anything that isn't technology and basically sales development, we've outsourced, right? So I don't have an internal marketing function. I don't have an internal HR function. I don't even have an internal accounting function. We use the best providers we could find for those. And then we've set up automation that provides those companies that we use with the information they need to do the things they need to do, right? So we have a very sophisticated set of tools that we use to run our business that feeds our accounting provider all of the accounting information, right? We don't have to have a lot of constant discussion around it because they've got it. They get it and they feed it back. We have automated processes to provide content and news updates and other information about our company to our marketing provider, who then does a bunch of automation to post social media stuff and things like that. So we have a very active social media campaign and it's all largely driven by automation. But even beyond that, I say that I'm aggressively lazy. and I hate doing a lot of the typical day-to-day crap that gets in the way of entrepreneurs, right? So we were a very early adopter. I mean, everybody in the world uses tools now like Calendly. We were a very early adopter of tools like that, but we actually went down the path with X.AI.
Oh yeah, I know. Actually, Dennis was on the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, Dennis Robinson was the founder of that.
That is, I mean, it's a phenomenal product. And very, very quickly, we just adopted it across the company. So we don't worry about scheduling meetings anymore. We have automation that handles all of that. We tie it in with Slack. In fact, we tie all of our tools in with Slack so that we're basically doing chat ops, right? We can schedule meetings, we can look stuff up, we can share documents, create documents, all the things that take a lot of time out of people's lives and yet are relatively low value, we've built automation around.
So I kind of write about this. So it's interesting. You're kind of hitting on a few key points. Like for me, the promise of automation is to free my time up so I can work on the stuff that, you know, is highest value and inspires me.
Exactly.
Right. It's like that brings me energy. And the more tedious little things or things that are outside of my core skill set, I get hypersensitive to. I do them poorly compared to someone else.
Right. No, I'm the same way. I mean, it nothing makes me more insane than having to fill out a form.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
To that point, right? We have like form sensitivity, I think, built up. Filling an email. No.
No, I just don't want to do it. Right. And I even do it with email. I use a tool called Text Expander. And I've got such muscle memory built up around doing things like a couple of, you know, two keystrokes that append my sign off to every email. I can't imagine typing the end of an email anymore because I have that all automated.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
I have when I set up first time appointments with potential new customers that are created by our lead gen company. I actually have a text expander template. I've got three characters I type, and it pastes into the appointment all the text for meeting with that person. It's got a field for me to fill out with their phone number, and it just takes care of it for me.
Wow, that's really interesting. And that's called Text Expander?
Yeah, it's called Text Expander. It's really slick. And again, it's, you know, it's a whopping $49 or something, but
it's amazing with some tools like that. Like you don't spend a lot, but it gets something off your plate that you don't have to think about anymore. That you probably
exactly. It saves me hundreds of dollars a year in time that I can then use to think about the business, to interact with customers, to work with my team. And I'm just not spending a lot of time on the things that are low value. And frankly, I'll be honest, it's meant that, and this is really weird for a technology company, particularly an IT ops company, we have 40-hour weeks or less. We just don't work.
Interesting.
But, you know, the huge ugly schedules that most people in our industry do, because we've gotten rid of all of that stuff.
Interesting. And that makes a lot of sense, because I think, especially in your business, like you're usually the guy drilling down on problems and having to spend time on the annoying stuff that someone just doesn't understand or doesn't have the capacity to deal with, right?
Right.
For you to take it to the level where you don't have to. I find in your business, by the way, it's like the wrong thing happens at the wrong time every time.
Right. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, one thing that's really core to our approach is you hear a lot about how responsive IT companies are, you know, oh, we're really responsive. Well, that's great, but that means you still had an incident. Something still broke, right? And my fundamental approach to this is stop it breaking in the first place. So let's identify all the things that we possibly can that could go wrong and put the monitoring, put the automation, put the procedures in place to stop those things from going wrong. And when you do that, you get to a place where so many of the day-to-day interruptions that are driven by technology go away.
it's kind of the promise you're saying of being proactive.
Well, that's it, right? Yeah, you know, and every IT company will tell you, oh, we're proactive. Well, let's talk about how, you know, what are you really doing to be proactive? It's not enough. They'll tell you, well, we're monitoring. Okay.
You're waiting for something.
Yeah, you're waiting for something. You're not, that's not being proactive. That's automating reactivity.
Yeah, good point.
You know?
I think the most useful tool, and I'll call it a tool or practice, is came, and I think I write about this in my book, but is Dan Sullivan. And he says, you know what, every 90 days as an entrepreneur, what you want to do is you want to make three lists. The one list is all the stuff in your business that annoys you. The other stuff is all the stuff that is repetitive, but it's important. And then there's the list of stuff that inspires you as an entrepreneur and that is your highest value work. And he goes, the first list is the stuff you get rid of.
Yeah.
Second stuff is like what you find a tool or a process or a system to automate it. And that kind of sounds like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Very high level. Mm-hmm. And then that frees you up so you can deal with the third list, which is, you know, as I mentioned before, the stuff that inspires you and your highest value work.
That's it.
That's leverage, that's, in a sense.
Yeah. That's leverage. And so we've tried to do that for our company, but we feel our mission for our customers is to help them do that third thing by doing the second thing for them as well, right? If we can help them get rid of all that stuff. You know, I talk about technology, the day-to-day technology operations for your company should be like flipping a light switch. You walk into a room and you flip a light switch and the light comes on and you never think about it.
That's very true. That makes sense.
Do your thing, right? You never come in and before your finger hits the light switch go, it's Monday morning. I wonder if the electricity generating plant broke over the weekend.
Right.
Everybody thinks that about their technology.
That's true. That's hilarious. I want to be conscious of your time, Doug. So yeah. I'm going to ask a few things. If you could only recommend one automation tool, what would it be?
Oh, God. Probably if there's only one I can recommend, I really got to lean on Text Expander a lot. I love it. It's become so intrinsic to what I do that I don't even think about it anymore.
I love that. We'll have to shout out to Text Expander. It's the first I've heard of these guys, so we'll have to check into that a little bit.
It started as a Mac tool, but it's on Windows too.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out. All right. I'm going to wrap with a few quick questions. The first is really, how do people get in touch with you? And is there anything that we haven't touched on that you think we should?
Sure. Yeah, you can get in touch with us. You can go to our website, www.brightworksgroup.net, or call us. 317-983-5000. And we're very, very visible on LinkedIn as well. So look for Brightworks Group or myself on LinkedIn, and you can reach us through that. That's our primary social media. I don't think there's anything in the time that we have that we haven't touched on in general. Great so far. Yeah.
Okay. So a few quick things. First of all, what can you tell me about the sword in the background?
So my, and I get that question, that's probably one of the best things I ever hung on the wall. My hobby is history. I'm very, very interested in history. And that is a 15th century pattern longsword, which is sort of the middle of the time period that I'm interested in. Bought it a few years ago and my son made the plaque to hang it on my wall. So.
Oh, interesting. It is. Shout out to your son on making the plaque to hang it on.
Yeah.
If Jim Rohn says that you are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with, so who do you, Doug, spend the most time with?
Number one would be my wife, who is an educational and neuropsychologist.
Oh, cool. Wow.
And probably has done more to help me get my head in the right space than anybody.
Because that's crazy.
She's got a personality that is in the right place and can tone down my type A personality. So So my wife, and then probably the others are the folks in our company. We're only a 7-person organization, and I spend time with them, you know, literally every single day. So Jason Conley, who is our director of cloud services, Michael Parker, who's our longest serving employee, my son, who came to work for us about 5 years ago now, fairly new to us, Lexi Taylor, who is our sales development specialist. I'm engaged with them day after day after day and spend a lot of time with them.
That's a great list. How are you, Doug, changing the world?
I think we're changing the world because the nature of what we do, I think, is kind of different from a lot of companies today. We are all about the long term. We're about sustainability and we're maintainers. So what we do, a lot of people see as kind of boring, but we're the guys that keep stuff running.
That helps.
You know, and well, nobody wants to do that, right? Everybody wants to create the next TikTok.
That's true.
But if the internet doesn't work, TikTok doesn't work.
That's true.
Right? Somebody's got to keep the wheels turning. And what we're trying to do, what we do a lot of times with our approach, is we sort of surface the necessity of doing that to the organizations that we work with. So they take I hope what we're doing is we're helping companies take a longer term view towards sustainability and maintainability.
I love it. That's a great mission there. Okay. So the final thing is that when we have interesting people on the podcast, we like you to nominate other interesting people. We usually talk to experts or entrepreneurs, person they serve and problems they solve. So who would you, Doug, like to nominate as a future guest of the Automate and Grow podcast?
I would send you to a good friend of mine who I've known for about 20 years, a gentleman by the name of Tom Gabbert, who owns a company called Milestone. He's a serial entrepreneur. Milestone is his new venture, and they are focused on really revolutionizing and disrupting accounting and human resources for small to mid-sized businesses.
Terrific. Okay, so Jim Gabbert, you've been nominated.
Tom Gabbert.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why did I write Jim?
Okay. Three letters, man.
Jim, Tom. Yeah, Tom, you have a new first name, which is Jim. Not really. So Tom Gabbert, my apologies. You've been nominated as a future guest of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will accept that. And I do have one other suggestion. I don't know what your wife does, but it would be always be interesting to talk to a neuropsychologist.
Absolutely. She would be another great one. Her name is Dr. Terry Miller.
Dr. Miller, you have been also nominated because I requested it. I'm happy to talk to Dr. Terry Miller. That'd be amazing.
Very good. And I will convey that to both of them.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, Doug, I want to acknowledge you for the work that you're doing, keeping the lights on and making everything work automatically. And I appreciate the time that you spent with us today.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, Michael.
No problem. This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on our future episode, hopefully with both Tom and Dr. Terry Miller. It'd be separate episodes, though, of Automate and Grow.